The Capital Confidential podcast is brought to you by the Times Union, the leading newspaper in New York's Capital Region. Subscribe today or visit online at timesunion.com.
You want to deport an undocumented person? Start with me, because I'm an undocumented person.
How do we beat him in an election?
We will. I'm going to run against him.
I wish you would, Dad.
There are things in here that are unobjectionable because they're not that effective. So yeah, sure, I'll vote for a distinctive license plate. Sure, why not?
Jim, you had your press conference at 4 o'clock.
You're having a press conference now?
That's right, I'm having a press conference.
Well, is this your space here or is it public?
No, it's my space.
Oh, this is your space.
Don't interrupt.
Okay. I'm David Lombardo, and this is the Capital Confidential Podcast. This episode takes a look at Medicaid, one of the two biggest areas of spending in the state budget each year. Multiple reports have come out recently documenting the escalating Medicaid costs in New York, which presents short-term and long-term challenges for the Cuomo administration and his budgeting team. It's possible the state is heading down a path that will require cuts in healthcare benefits or reductions elsewhere in the budget, likely to education. Mark Houston, a veteran of the Pataki administration, who is now a lobbyist helping clients navigate the state's healthcare laws and regulations, joined the podcast to explain the ramifications of the state's Medicaid spending. Enjoy the show. Mark, can you give me a little context about where Medicaid fits into the state budget in terms of its size and how many people in New York use it?
Sure. So it is. It has historically has been considered to be about one third of the entire state budget. It is a program that is funded both by the state and by the federal government at least a 50-50 share amount. It has grown over the years to the point where it is serving, I think the last number I saw was around 6 million New Yorkers are receiving some kind of services through Medicaid.
And we've seen some reports from the Citizen Budget Commission as well as the Empire Center for Public Policy to think tanks talking about payments that the state has made for Medicaid, and in terms of when those payments were made, specifically payments for the previous fiscal year, which ended in March, being made at the start of this current fiscal year. What are they talking about, and why should anyone care?
Sure. So, as I mentioned, it is a joint federal-state program. The state is responsible for a share of Medicaid costs. Medicaid is administered really in two ways. It's administered through the local social service districts in each county. The vast majority of Medicaid recipients receive it through Medicaid managed care at this point. And the state pays premiums to managed care entities to manage the care of their enrollees. So the state pays their share of Medicaid costs in a series of lump sums, essentially. Apparently what certainly has been done over several years is you can play with the timing of those payments so that the payment is attributable to one fiscal year or another. Part of what has caused the current controversy is that there was an especially large payment that was made that was delayed this year and moved into the following fiscal year.
Why would the, I guess, state delay a payment? Do we not have the cash? Were we still waiting for a check to clear before we could make the payment or something?
Largely, I would assume, I was not part of that decision making, so I can't say with certainty, but I would assume it is related to what we call the Medicaid global cap. This is some legislation that was first enacted in 2011 and has been extended over the years that effectively imposes a cap on the amount of costs, cost increases in Medicaid each year. That has resulted in the state, having to be very careful in terms of of its costs each year and how it calculates its costs each year. And, you know, that would certainly be one very logical reason for the state to delay a payment so as not to pierce the cap.
Now, the Medicaid global cap, if I remember correctly, that's a product of early Governor Andrew Cuomo, the fiscal conservative version, who was making a big deal about, you know, controlling spending and, you know, we weren't going to raise taxes, that kind of stuff. And how has the cap affected the state's Medicaid spending? Has it been something that's controlled spending on healthcare in New York, or have we found ways to get around it since 2011?
I don't think those two propositions are incompatible. I think it absolutely has you know, bent the cost curve is the phrase that people seem to like to use. So it has actually reduced the increase in cost in Medicaid since inception. And you're correct, by the way, it was a product of the governor's Medicaid redesign team in the early years of the administration. All that said, though, I don't think that means that the state has not found ways to get around the cap, you know, when necessary, and whether it's a question of simply delaying a payment, or in some cases you see determinations being made as to what falls within the cap and what doesn't. You know, every now and then you'll hear about a state expenditure in the healthcare space that, you know, is determined to not be within the cap, and so you don't have to take that into account when calculating the cap. So, and, you know, part of this is, you know, it's a bit of a black box as to what goes into the cap and what doesn't, and, you know, how this is managed each year. But keep in mind, you know, there is this sense that, oh, these are, you know, fiscal shenanigans that, you know, we as New Yorkers should have a problem with. On the other hand, the whole point of the cap is if the cap is pierced, it triggers some legislation that essentially gives the Department of Health and the Division of Budget superpowers to cut services outside of the normal legislative process. I think in many cases we should be grateful that they have done what they need to do to stay within the cap.
So by shifting a payment because of the state's desire to come under that cap, is it possible that we are now setting ourselves up to exceed the Medicaid cap this current fiscal year?
That is always the worry when you do something like this. If you push a payment back 1 year, if you don't make it up the next year, you either just continue to push the problem down the road, or even worse, delay another payment, and then the debt builds. Absolutely a concern, but and in fact, in this case, probably a concern because of the magnitude of the payment that was delayed.
How big are we talking?
I think it was $1.7 billion.
Oh, what's 1.7? What's 2.7 billion between friends, though, Mark? Come on, I mean, it's
right, a billion here, a billion here, there. Pretty soon, you're talking about real money.
Yeah. Are there ramifications for this type of spending outside of the healthcare sector? Is this going to affect our bottom line in other areas if the governor wants to continue to control spending, which is something he said? You know, he talks a lot about 2% spending cap. There's some debate about whether that's an actual number that we hit, but could increased spending in Medicaid have effects elsewhere in the budget?
Absolutely. There's two ways to reduce spending, right? At least for purposes of Medicaid. There's taking it out of Medicaid itself. You know, there's certainly many options within the Medicaid program, right? You could continue to ratchet down the premiums you're paying to managed care organizations, but I'm sure they will be the first to tell you that they are, they do not have the capacity to maintain the current level of services if you take down their rates anymore. And by the way, these are the managed care plans that manage the care of enrollees. So they're not necessarily the providers themselves. They are insurers, effectively. They are managed care plans, but they receive an amount per member per month and are required to cover all the services for that member. And we have absolutely seen, particularly in the managed long-term care space, we've seen plan fold because, and they, the argument they would certainly make is because their premiums have not been high enough. So that's a concern. That's one way to get to it. Another way to get to it within the Medicaid program is to cut benefits. And that is something that is certainly a controversial subject, and effectively is a controversial subject year in, year out. There is almost never an executive budget that does not propose some kind of service reduction or eligibility reduction, and traditionally the legislature always buys that back. And so if the governor were to seek to reduce benefits, you would certainly have a political disagreement there. Now, that's all within the Medicaid program. The other possibility, of course, is to short something else in the budget in order to pay for Medicaid costs. You know, I mentioned earlier that Medicaid has traditionally been considered to be about one-third of the state budget. Another third is education, and the last third is everything else. So education is certainly something that one would look to as a source to fill Medicaid holes. I think it would be unavoidable. Obviously, it's not like that's any less controversial, and in many cases, certainly more controversial. And then there's everything else the state does. And, you know, that, as you can imagine, encompasses many, many different kinds of programs, not nearly with the size and scope of Medicaid. So any cuts there proportionally could be even more painful.
The report from the Citizen Budget Commission says that the rising cost per enrollee is what's driving the Medicaid increases. They're saying that there's been an increase of more than 25% from fiscal years 2016 to 2019, despite the program essentially being flat in terms of enrollment. Is that what we're looking at? Is it just, are we paying a higher bill just because healthcare in general continues to become more and more expensive every year?
Sure. There's probably a couple of ways to interpret that, right? It is just the increases in the cost of care in general. You know, you might make the argument, too, that, you know, it could be attributable to how sick the Medicaid population is. You know, that, you know, would not be terrifically surprising, you know, with, you know, the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. You have other options for a lot of people, and probably healthier people, for their health insurance, which takes them out of the Medicaid pool, which means on a per-person basis that the Medicaid pool is sicker.
Is there anything happening on the federal level that might have any impact on New York's Medicaid population, its Medicaid spending moving forward?
Always. You know, I mentioned it's, you know, there's a federal share, a significant federal share to Medicaid, and anything that challenges that share is going to impact New York, which you can imagine in terms of overall Medicaid expenditures nationwide, New York has a very high share of that. So absolutely any changes on the federal level will impact us and in any number of ways.
When talking to the governor's office about this issue, and specifically these reports, you know, they say that they continue to monitor Medicaid spending patterns and evaluate year-end results for future updates to the state financial plan. So what could we potentially see with the mid-year financial plan update that's, I guess, due end of October, but realistically it'll probably come out sometime early November?
Yeah, well, I think this is all set up for the executive budget, right? So it's I would not be surprised if you saw the fiscal outlook, you know, being predicted to be worse. You know, then requires more cuts in the executive budget, and you know that becomes the floor for negotiations going into January, February, and March.
You touched on this briefly with regards to the legislature buying back certain Medicaid spending and benefits. And what you're referring to there is that negotiation, that give and take, where there's kind of that wiggle room from January to March as the legislature and governor hammer things out. So what do you think is going to be the big discussions in January through March? Is it going to be that same old fight of buying back parts of Medicaid spending, or is this a dynamic we haven't seen under the governor's administration so far?
I think it's going more of the same. You know, you're going to see the governor proposing cuts. You're going to see the legislature seeking to restore that. I think you'll also see some discussion about potential new sources of revenue. You know, cannabis is always something that's discussed in that regard, which then, you know, creates some more wiggle room in terms of buying back some of those cuts. But I think you'll absolutely see cuts in the executive budget this year.
Is this a revenue problem, or is this a problem that we just want to control spending and we have a cap that we can sort of have some wiggle room around? I mean, it seems like that we've got the money to pay these bills. We just don't want to pay them this sort of way, if you kind of get what I'm trying to say.
I do. And look, it's, you know, revenue is always an issue, right? State government is different than an individual. You know, you never have enough money to do everything you want to do. So that's always a component of it. How we spend our money is certainly, I think, where some of the most fruitful discussions can occur, right? I mean, not all programs are equal. Some are better than others. Some are more effective than others. Some have better return on investment than others. So there's, you know, certainly we can expect conversations about that, and those conversations are not inappropriate.
Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time to walk me through this wonky conversation and making it very understandable and meaningful for people who are going to either receive these benefits or potentially pay for them. So thank you so much for your time.
Glad to help.
And that's our show. My thanks to Mark Houston for sharing his expertise. This appearance puts him in the elite club of repeat guests for the Capital Confidential podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show wherever you download podcasts. It helps nerds like you find the show and gets me one step closer to that decoder ring Apple Podcasts promised. Until next time, podcast adjourned.
I tried to get you.
Ah, this day sucks.